Well, friends, it's good to see each of you in chapel this morning, and it is my privilege once again to come before you. Just one brief word of announcement. At the end of this week, you will see the I-term, the winter I-term classes go up, and so do want to make you aware of that. Those are classes you can take over the five-week Christmas break online, and we hope some of you will sign up for those. Our speaker this morning is Dr. Tom Hufte, and Dr. Tom Hufte is a familiar name to Hannibal LaGrange University. Dr. Tom Hufte is both an alum of our institution and, in addition to that, served on the cabinet here for a number of years. For the last, a little over 10 years, I believe, you've served at First Baptist Merrillville, Illinois, where he succeeded, or where He followed Fred Winters after a horrible tragedy that occurred in that church, but has led that church most ably. I've gotten to know him just a little bit over the last 9 months, and I know we are in for quite a treat this morning as Dr. Hufte comes and addresses us and speaks to us this morning. Welcome, Dr. Hufte, back to Hannibal LaGrange.
Thank you so much, Dr. Matz. What an honor to be here. I want to ask a question really quick before as we begin. Anybody have a birthday today? Does anybody have a birthday today? No birthdays today? Any birthdays yesterday? No birthdays yesterday. Any birthday tomorrow? Anybody have a birthday tomorrow? Anybody born? Okay, good, good. How about a birthday in September? You have a birthday in September? And when is your birthday? September 13th. Okay. And let's see. Lauren, did you have people sing to you? Did they?
It was a big one.
Did the chapel ever sing to you happy birthday?
No.
They didn't. Well, here's the opportunity. Okay. Are you ready?
Almost.
Is everybody ready? Because she has to document this. Okay. All right. Okay, it's happy birthday, dear Lauren. Don't ask her how old she is. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you. Woohoo! Okay. Anybody that is a current student that your birthday is in September? Okay? Nobody? You? You have one up there? Tomorrow? We gave you a shot at tomorrow. Well, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. The lights. Didn't see it. So what's your name, sweetie? Chloe? Okay. Let's see. This is tomorrow. We're going to celebrate Chloe today. So, Chloe, I know Lauren had to wait a long time for chapel to sing for her, but you're going to get it right before your birthday, okay? So let's all sing to Chloe. Happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you. It's Chloe. Happy birthday to you. Very good. Happy birthday, dear. Excellent. Happy birthday to you. And you harmonize. Wow. Good job. Good job. Well, I just always think it's important to celebrate people when they have a birthday, and so just thought I would take that time to do that. Gosh, it is so good to be back here on campus. I love this place. I absolutely love this place, and let me tell you why. I spent 17 years of my life in this place. The first four, I went to school here. I was a student. And I made all kinds of mistakes as a student. I messed up so many times as a student. But you know what I found here? They love me. They love me even in my mess-ups. People love me. And they gave me a chance. And I was so moved by that. And so that's why it has a special place in my heart. But then, later on, fast forward about 20 years after I graduated, and I get the opportunity to come back and serve here. And it was just a great, great opportunity. It was a great, great experience, and I loved it. And so it's just so great for my wife Rhonda and I to be back here, and we want to thank you all so much for the kind welcome, even though it wasn't our birthday that you sang to us. But we are so grateful to be back. And as I come to talk to you today, I realize that HLGU has, I've heard and I've seen and I've understood that we've gone through some hits lately, and we've gone through some tough times. You know, the first time I remember HLG going through a tough time? 1973, I was raised in northeastern Missouri, and I was watching TV one night on one of the three channels that we could get. And I was watching TV, and it opened with the camera shot on the doors of Hannibal Grange. And I remember watching that, and the commentator said, unless something happens, these doors will close in like the next 24 hours. It was a bad day. But it wasn't the last day. Fast forward a few years after that, 1989. There was this awful fire that took place. As you have walked under the arch, I'm sure, ceremonially and just in everyday life, you've walked under the arch. That's that original administration building or the front of it. And in 1989, there was this awful, awful fire. Maybe you've read about it or heard about it. That I remember coming, I was living in Kansas City. We were living in Kansas City at the time, and we were coming through Hannibal on a trip, and it was the day after the fire. And I remember Ron and I walking around campus, and smoke was still coming up from the fire. That was a bad day. But it wasn't the last day. I want to take some time today to talk to you about one of the best days I ever experienced at Hannibal LaGrange University. I'll never forget this day. Here's the thing, though. I didn't realize that it was one of the best days while it was happening. But isn't that true of our lives? When we go through significant times in our life, very seldom do we stop and say, man, this is the most significant day of my life. We don't recognize it as it's happening, but as we go back and we look back, we think, that was a great day. Let me tell you about this day. I want to share a passage of Scripture with you. This is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. You all who are Bible brains out there, you already know what this says, okay? But for you all who maybe are, you know, not familiar with maybe where the street address is on this verse, it's Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. Here's what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. And then it tells us why we're here, why we're created. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand or in advance, that we should do them or walk in them. So, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I want to tell you about a good work that happened on this day that I wanted to mention to you. One of the best days ever at Hannibal LaGrange University. In fact, the reason I think it's one of the greatest days, first of all, it was great for me personally. Secondly, people still talk about it. Now maybe you've not talked about it. Maybe you don't even know what happened. But people still talk about this. In fact, millions of people have heard this story before. And when it was happening, it was like, absurd to think that millions of people would hear the story. But it happened. In fact, it happened in the Maybe Sports Complex. I went over there today, this morning when I first arrived, I went over there because I wanted to check the room number. It's not a classroom anymore. It's coach's office. It's room 222. It's down at the very end. This is where it took place. It was at that time that it was 20 years ago. It was in 2002. And I was tasked with teaching a class called Youth Issues. Now, what do you think we talk about in Youth Issues? We talk about youth issues. Very good. Okay. It's not complicated. We're talking about youth issues. Here's how the class went. There was 21, 22 in the class. It was made up of preacher wannabes and youth minister wannabes and those that wanted to be social workers. It was made up of a group of about 22 students. And there was some older ones. There were some traditional younger students in the class. Here's the way I framed the framework I had for the class. Okay, so what we're going to do is every week you come in. It was a block course just met on Tuesdays. Every week when you come in, I want you to bring an article from the paper, an article off the internet. I want you to bring an article about some youth issue, some issue that a teenager is going through. And then what we're going to do is we're going to ask four questions. Same routine every class period. We're going to ask, what's the problem? What's the problem that this young person has? The second question is, what need is not being met in this young person's life of that has caused this problem? Third thing is, what's going to be the end result if nobody addresses the problem? What's going to be the end result? And then the last question is, how should the church respond? And so every week, they would come in, all my class would come in, and they would have these articles, and we would pick some of them, and we would talk about them. And as we would talk about them, it was interesting to me and puzzling to me at the same time that every conversation, all the way through the semester, it landed on two things: law and grace. Law and grace. It was like there was part of the class that would say, you know, this kid broke the rules, this kid broke the law, this kid needs to be punished for this. Then the other part of the class, well, that was just their first offense. Maybe not bad punishment, maybe, and it just every, it seemed like every class period, that was happening. I was a little concerned about that. And let me tell you why I was concerned about it, because I've got this philosophy in my life that goes like this, that I believe that one of the reasons that I'm here on earth is to touch a day I'll never see. And in order to do that, I'm going to do that through younger people. And so it puzzled me that there was such an argument of love, law and grace. So I go home. It was like 2 weeks before the final, and I go home, and I'm talking to Rhonda, my wife, and I'm saying, you know, it just bugs me about this class. And she said, well, you know, that's just kind of natural that would happen. I said, yeah, I know, but it just bugs me. Went into the class the next day, and I said, listen, if I'm going to touch a day I'll never see, it's going to be through you. So I want to know what your view of God is. Let's just pretend you're in my class today. What is your view of God? This is what I said to them. Is he happy, sad, mad, glad? What is he? Because if you're going to go out and you're going to be a social worker, you're going to go out and you're going to be a student minister, you're going to go out and you're going to be a pastor somewhere, people who don't read the Bible will read you. And your view of God is what they'll latch on to. So why would they take their cues from you about the way you view your God? And what is God? Is he happy, sad, mad, or glad? What is he? Well, one kid, he raised up his hand and he said, you know, God's a holy God. And when he sees sin, sin deserves to be punished. In fact, sin's punishment is death. And God's holy. And he wants us to be holy. And that's how I view God. Can't argue with that, right? And I said, okay. And he said, let me go on. He punishes sin. I said, right. He said, and then there are times that he's really disappointed with your sin. And I said, okay. So he's a holy God, which you're right. He's sin needs to be punished. He's punished by death. Sometimes he's disappointed with your sin. I said, so that means I need to sin on a good day, right? I mean, I need to sin when he's disappointed. I'd rather God be disappointed with me than, you know, I'm going to die. And he said, well, that doesn't sound right, does it, Dr. Hufty? And I said, well, I think there's a little hole, some holes there. I said, could it be that you're exactly right, that God's a holy God, that sin is to be punished and sin is punishable by death? And God says, you deserve to die because of your sin. Wait a second. My son is going to die for your sin. And could at that point, after we have his son in our life, and we give our lives to him, but we mess up later, God says, man, I'm disappointed in that. Could it be that the difference between God's anger and wrath and his disappointment is the cross? Well, you know, like any class, listening to the professor. Sure, that sounds good. Are we done here? Can we go now? So anyway, the class was over, and I go home, and I tell my wife, she debriefs with me every night, you know, and talks me off the ledge, and I said, you know, I've got this idea. I just don't know. She said, well, what is it? I said, well, it doesn't fit into the world of academia. And I said, but if I don't tell anybody that I'm going to do this, I just really think it'll make an impact. And she said, I don't know, Tom. We just moved here. We got a nice house. I don't want to lose a job. You know, the kids are just getting involved in school. And I said, well, what do you think about the idea? She said, well, I think it's a great idea, but I don't know. Because we don't want to lose our job. And I said, yeah, I get that. So I went into the class the next week. It was the week before finals. I presented something you're very familiar with called a study guide. You guys familiar with a study guide? Now, when you get the study guide, what do you think in your mind? This is the final. This is it. And this is what I told everybody. I said, you're responsible for this, what's on the study guide and for the final next week, and you're also responsible for all the text we covered. You're also responsible for all the discussions that we covered. Okay? So, but here's the study guide. And like good college students, they said, great, are we done here? I mean, the study guide lasted, that class, it's a 3-hour class, it lasted like 15 minutes. Dr. Hefty, there's a ball game going on out there today. I can study out there. I bought it, sure, class dismissed. We dismissed the class. They come back the next week, but you know what happens about an hour and a half before your final? You're cramming this information into your brain as fast as you can. And you're memorizing all these things, all these lists and all these terms, and you're memorizing all them that you're going to forget in 3 hours from now, but you have to have it for that final. So we go into the final. I show up at the classroom, 222, maybe sports complex. I'm standing behind a podium. In walks these students. Youth issues, 2002. Amy Albers, Dawn Baker, Denise Banderman, Mitch Beller, Dina Berg, Sam Byers, Sarah Clark. You don't know these people, but these are the people that were in the class. Brian, this kid named Brian, he walks into the class. He walks in, and this is what he says. I'm going to flunk this puppy. I didn't have any time to study at all. First thing he says, and I just watch, you okay, Brian? I'm just going to flunk it. Well, you know, okay. Nothing I can do with that. And everybody's sitting down, and they're going through their study guide. It's great. And I said, started off the class, and I said, listen, guys, I just felt uneasy with the review that we did last week. I thought it was too short. I didn't think I prepared you well. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to just go over the study guide again before. They don't want to hear that. They've been cramming the study. They've been at the snack shack. They've been trying to cram all this stuff in. And I said, let me just go over it once again. So I started going over, you know, what they're going to need to know for the final exam. Now, as I'm doing this, I've got a pen. It's a red pen, and I'm just writing things down, and I'm going to say, you're going to need to know this, and I'm writing things down. You need to know this, and I'd move a piece of paper, and I'd write something down, and you need to know this. And I went through probably about 10 things that they would need to know, and as I would look up, raise my eyes and look up into the class, I could see them lip-syncing, you know, the list that they had to memorize and stuff like this. And I kept writing, and with my red pen, I kept writing, and I said, okay, and you'll need to know this. And then I mentioned something. I mentioned something that wasn't on the study guide. Denise sits right in the front. Got like a straight A going into the final. Hand goes up. And I said, yes, Denise. Where's that? I said, oh, that's in the textbook. I think it was like chapter 13, something like that. Okay. They started looking at each other. Then I mentioned about five more things that was not on the study guide. Things I knew. I knew they wouldn't know these things. I loved it. I was the only one in the room having fun. And I started mentioning these things. And then finally, after, I mean, there's books slamming, there's, you know, looking around, you know, and looking at each other and talking to one another, and you could see anger, and you could see some, you know, you'd hear a little tone, you know, whispers, and finally Brian's sitting over here, he's looking at me, and he's sitting over here, he's the one that's going to flunk it. Why should he care? He's going to flunk. Okay, but anyway, he says, just give us the test. He yelled, and I said, okay, is everybody ready for the test? And man, they just started slamming books, putting their books on the floor. And so I said, okay, I'm going to hand out the final exam to you. And this is going to be a little different. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put it face down on each one of your all's desk. I'm going to deliver it to you. I'm going to put it down, face down on each one of your desk. And then when everybody has an exam, I'm going to say, let's begin. And we'll all start at the same time. And then when you're finished with the exam, what I want you to do is I want you to flip it back over, because we're just going to take time here in the classroom to grade the test. Are you good? Yeah, everybody's good. So I go down 22 pieces of paper. I think the test was about five pages long. And so each one of them. I go back up to my podium. I said, okay, you now may begin the final exam. When they turned the exam over, what they saw was every answer on the test had been filled in. Even their name, in the order in which they were sitting, was written in red in my handwriting. I hand-delivered them an A. It was interesting. The first one that spoke, Brian. Everybody's kind of facing this way, but he was to the side, and he was facing that way. And he's looking at it, and he says, I love you, Dr. Hufty! To which I responded, Brian, people are taking the test. And he looks around, and he thinks, I've got the key. He gave me the key. And then I noticed back about four seats back on this side, a girl by the name of Abby, arms folded. She was ticked off. She was so mad. And she would sigh, and then there were some others, and then others would kind of look at each other. And I made a statement after a few minutes, if you're finished with the test, turn it over. At the very end of the test, this is what it said. This is the end of the final exam. Every answer on this test is correct. You will receive an A for your final exam. The reason you will receive an A is because the creator of the test took the test for you. Some things you learn through lecture. Some things you learn through research. But some things you must experience to learn. And you have just experienced grace. 100 years from now, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your name will be written in a book, and you had nothing to do with it. It's grace. When you go teach young people and minister to young people, don't hammer them. Help them. They are not the enemy. And your ministry will flourish if it's a ministry filled with grace. In a moment, Dr. Hufty will ask you 3 questions. Here were the 3 questions. What is your grade? Do you deserve the grade you're receiving today? Did all of your hard work and study help you achieve this grade? And I started. Amy Albers. Yes, sir, she said. She sat back behind Abby. What is your grade? An A. Do you deserve the grade you're receiving today? No, sir. Did your work and all your study help you achieve this grade? No, sir. Dawn Baker. Yes, sir. What is your grade? An A. Do you deserve the grade that you're receiving today? No, sir. How much did all of your work help you achieve this grade? None. Denise Banderman. What is your grade? An A. Do you deserve the grade you're receiving today? No, sir. Did any of your work and hard work and study help you achieve this grade? No, sir. And then I went on to the next one, and to the next one, and to the next one. I wanted each one of them to hear, I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything for this. So, okay, class is over. People are walking out. They leave. I'm thinking, I can't wait to go home and tell Rhonda, you know, that this worked, you know. Abby comes up to me afterwards. She was the one arms folded. She said, I knew something was different. And when I saw all those answers, I was so angry with you. I said, why did he do this? I could have done this. And she said, and then I realized, I couldn't. And the Lord just nailed me right there. How foolish of all my hard work to be approved, to be something that people would like. And started talking to her, the Spirit started talking to her about her identity. She goes over to the snack shack, a bunch of people are sitting around there, and she starts telling them what she had done. Or what she just experienced. One kid sitting there with a milkshake said, Hufty just didn't want to grade the test. The indictment of a lazy professor, I guess. He said, he didn't want to date the, and she said, no. You don't get it. You don't know what we've been through. And then she said this. Don't cheapen grace. So, all this is great. Everything's gone well. I think they'll remember this. And that's what we're here for, right? We're here to learn. I think they'll never forget this. This will be, you know, it doesn't fit in the world of academia, but I didn't tell anybody either. I mean, my boss at the time was the president, Dr. Burt, who's sitting here. And we're still friends. But I didn't tell him. I didn't tell anybody in the academic department. I didn't tell anybody. I just knew that they would learn, though, what I wanted them to learn. At that time, my office is over in the athletic department. I'm administering the athletic department at that time. And school's out. It's probably, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks later. It's mid to late summer. I get a call, and the secretary over there says, Tom, you got a call from this guy. I said, I don't know. What's his name? She tells me. I don't know who it is. I answer the phone, and he said, my name is such and such. He said, I'm a pastor in Vancouver. He said, I just wanted to know, did you do this grace test? Did it really happen, and did you administer it? And I said, excuse me, who is this? He says, I'm a pastor in Vancouver. I'm going to do a staff retreat, and I just want to know if you did this, if it was true, and if you did it. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, number one, how in the world? You're not a pastor in Vancouver. You're from North Central. You're accrediting. You're from the accrediting agency. I am sunk. And I said, yes, I did do it. He said, did it go just like I've read? I said, what did you read? He said, well, I read about it in Leadership Magazine, which is part of Christianity Today at the time. I read it in Leadership Magazine. I said, how did it get there? He said, I don't know, it's got this little author, Denise Banderman, wrote this. And I thought, I got to go talk to my boss. I got to let you go. So I went over to Dr. Burt's office, and I said, listen, I need to tell you something that I've done. And it was kind of, I was really very nervous. And he is as he is. And if you don't know him, you need to. He's just the best president in the world. And he just said, Tom, they'll never forget that. That's so great. I'm so glad you did that. And so that was great, and that was fine. And Denise, I talked to her, and she said, yeah, I've always wanted, it just moved me. And I just wrote about it, and I sent it in, and they published it. They didn't just publish it. One of my mentors from afar is a guy by the name of Chuck Swindoll, who put that same story about something that happened on a day here in his book on Job. Robert Jeffers, who's pastor at First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, put it in his Grace Gone Wild book. Dr. David Jeremiah has used it in illustrations, and his radio program reaches about 480 million people, 2.7 billion homes. It was a great day here. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that that could be a great work. I didn't know that, you know, I mean, I know that we are his workmanship and we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But my question is what's your good work? What's your good work right now? Your good work right now, being a good student and growing in the Lord and trying to figure out how to take that major that you have and make Jesus look good with it. That's your good work. I think about when Nehemiah went to rebuild the wall around the temple, around Jerusalem. Remember Sanballat and Geshem? I hope nobody's named Sanballat and Geshem, but they were bad dudes. And remember, they said, we want to talk to you. Come to the village of Ono, and we want to talk to you. The village on the plain of Ono, you know, which there should have been a flag go up at that point, you know. Hey, these guys are inviting you to the plain of Ono! And do you remember what Nehemiah said? Nehemiah said, why would I leave such a great work? He was so focused. Do we think about our great work? There have been bad days here. But not the last day. There have been bad days in your life, I'm sure. But there's this thing called grace that is so amazing. And I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what your background is. But I want to close out with this. Just pick this up. $100. Verify. $100. Okay. If you guys can't see up there, it's a $100 bill. One question for you. Who wants it? Okay. Thank you for being bold to raise your hand. Now, I don't know. I just saw, you know, maybe 20 hands or so. And they just raised their hand. Some of you were like, there's a catch somewhere. I don't know what it is. No, I just want to know, once again, who wants it? Raise your hand if you want it. Okay. Okay. I love you. Okay, Wait just a second. I really want to make sure I know. Well, now, who wants it? Really? I mean, it's all wrinkled now. I folded it up. You still want it? Okay. Wait just a second. Now who wants it? Seriously? Okay. Now, let's see. Now. Who wants it? Really? I want you to know something. This $100 bill just had a bad day. It's wrinkled. It's beat up. It's taken some hits. Yet you still found it valuable. And God looks at you, and he knows that you've taken some hits, and he knows that you've been beat up, and he knows that you've been struggling, and he knows that you've gone through some dark times in your life. But I want you to know, he's crazy about you. He loves you. And it doesn't make any difference what you've done. It doesn't make any difference what you've become. You're valuable to him. Chloe, would you do me a favor? Come here. Come here. Come here, Chloe. It's a little wrinkled. It's had a bad day. Yeah. Happy birthday, sweetie.
I think you should give it to her over there.
Take it. Yeah. Happy birthday. Hey, Chloe. I have one for her. Yeah. Come here, Lauren. Thank you. You're welcome. Never forget his grace. And he just doesn't want us to be recipients of grace. He wants us to distribute grace. One last story before we leave, and I know we're probably past time. One last thing. After word got out about this great day that happened at your university, I was speaking at a school in St. Louis, and it was a Christian high school, and I walked in. I only knew one person there who was a former alum, invited me to come and speak. And when I got there, I just said hello to the people around the office, and out comes the principal. And I never met him before, and I shook his hand and told him, my name's Tom, and he said, you gave the grace test, right? I said, yeah. I said, how did you hear about that? And he told me how he heard about it. He said, I did too. I said, no kidding. He said, yeah, I did the same thing. After I read about it, I decided to do that in one of my classes. I said, what class did you do it? And he said, Calc 3. I said, I bet they love you. He said, oh, it's great. It was great. And then he stopped me right there and he said, Do you remember what you felt right before you gave that test? And I'd never thought about it until he asked me, but I did. I remembered. I remembered as they were sitting there struggling and going over what all the material and working hard and always just experiencing all the frustration that they were and confusion that they were. I remembered thinking, if you guys only knew what I had for you, if you only knew what's going to happen, if you only knew the great work that you're going to be a part of, and only you, because I'm never going to do a grace test again. And by the way, don't go talk to your next professor saying, hey, were you in chapel? No, it was specific for them. They needed it, but I needed it. I needed to distribute grace. And I don't think you're ever more like Jesus than when you're giving or when you're forgiving. I don't know how this landed on your heart today. I don't know where you are with Jesus. But I want you to know he's crazy about you. And as you're doing your homework and as you're going through this season, remember this. He has a great work for you. And you'll have some bad days, but not the last day. Because the last day will be with him if we know him. Let me pray with you. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you for your wonderful, wonderful grace of which we do not deserve. Thank you for Hannibal LaGrange University. Thank you for keeping your hand on this university for so many years. Thank you for molding my life as a result of being here. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that you'd strengthen and protect them from the evil one and show them your great work that you have for them in this season. And may we look back 20 years from now and say, God was real that day. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed.